There was a wedding here last night, and since the Old Testament reading referred to bridegroom and bride, it made me think of a quote that I read recently from the great actor Clint Eastwood. Mr. Eastwood said, "They tell me that marriages are made in heaven, but so are thunder and lightning." And while that may be true, that marriage has its downs, it also has its ups. And of course, weddings are time for people to come and rejoice. And at this time, we're celebrating the coming of the bridegroom who comes to retrieve his bride. That is Christ coming to retrieve the church. St. Paul tells us, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. As I said, a wedding is most certainly an occasion for rejoicing. Families come together to celebrate the love of a man and woman who have found joy in each other, and everybody comes to rejoice in their love for one another. It's a celebration of promise, a celebration of hope. The bride and groom, with family and friends, come rejoicing here into the house of the Lord, and they come to give thanks for one another. The family and friends come to offer thanks and prayers for the bride and groom. The bride and groom, along with their family and friends, listen to the word of God and, inspired by that word, resolve to live in the joy of a holy and Christian life. The bride and groom then offer themselves to one another as a gift from each to the other before God, pledging a lifetime of fidelity, of love, solidarity, through all the triumphs and tragedies, all the poverty and plenty, the health and sickness of life. And they pledge to do this until death. So what would I say to this newly married couple? Well, I would use the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians, where he says, "Your kindness to one another should be known to all." And that is certainly true. The world needs to see the love of a husband for his wife and a wife for her husband and parents for their families. Our kindness must be shown to each and every person everywhere, not for show, but to show and demonstrate to others how we as human beings are meant to live. With kindness and mercy. I would remind them that the Lord is certainly near, that he is in your midst as your God, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, and as your friend. And in the words of Venerable Fulton J. Sheen, it takes three to get married. It takes the husband, the wife, and Christ. Christ who created them, Christ who sanctified them, Christ who calls them together, who blesses and sanctifies their union, and by his grace keeps it together. I would tell a couple to have no anxiety at all, not to have great worries, but to cast all of their cares and their worries upon Christ. He wants that. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to make their requests known to God. And then, as St. Paul says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be with you. He will guard you and keep you, as you keep your hearts and your minds centered in Christ Jesus. Weddings are certainly filled with joy because there's something within us that just knows that human beings made in God's image are made for the following. We're made for love. We're made for love. We're made for unity, unity in love. We're made for giving. We're made for sharing. And we are made for creating. Only human beings can create other human beings by the power of God's grace. Only we can come up with concepts in our minds and put those things to paper and then actually build things, paint things, sculpt things, create things, invent things. And this is what we do. Made for love, made for unity, made for giving, made for sharing, made for creating. So whenever we see a couple truly in love with Christ and truly in love with each other, coming together in unity with their families, giving themselves freely to one another and determined to go through life together, working hard at building up a home, opening their lives to new life and creating a family. When you see a husband and wife each forming themselves and helping to form each other into becoming good and righteous servants of God who demonstrate kindness and charity toward each other and toward others, then we realize that all of this is good. All of this is good, and it's of God, and it's just right. And it is. I say all this because the model of Christian marriage is meant to be a visible example of the call that all of us have to our life in Christ. Christ, who is the bridegroom, and we, the church, his bride, in a fruitful and spiritual union. As the Gospels tell us, St. John the Baptist came to announce the coming of the bridegroom, and he helped the people of Israel, the bride of Christ, as the Old Testament prophets had described Israel so many times before, to prepare herself to meet the bridegroom by confessing her past sins and have a reorientation of their lives to God's law and the commandments, and to develop a spirit of humility and charity. And the same thing happens for us. As we've accepted Christ at his first coming and want to welcome him again, Christ wants us to repent of our past sins and put sins in the past and reorient ourselves toward the future by living according to his law and commandments in the Gospels and living lives of humility and charity. So just as a valiant and noble young man may rescue a woman that he loves from danger and oppression, so Christ has done for us. He has rescued us from the paralyzing guilt of sin, and he brings us all to a new life of grace and peace. As Isaiah wrote, "I rejoice heartily in the Lord my God. In my God is the joy of my soul, for he has clothed me with the robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice. He, like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, we, like a bride bedecked with her jewels, come together as one." Brothers and sisters, we're being asked by Christ at this time of Advent and every day of our lives. We're being asked by Christ the bridegroom, "Will you be mine? Will you be mine forever? Will you love me as I love you? Will you remain one with me, giving yourself to me as I gave myself to you, as I gave myself for you? Will you share yourself with me as you share with others all that I have given you? Will you go forth, be fruitful and multiply, that is, multiply your graces, your good works, and your virtues? Will you live in me and allow me to live in you?" This, brothers and sisters, is the marriage, the union that we, the church, are created for, the wedding feast of the Lamb, our eternal union with Christ, begun in baptism, made solemn in the Eucharist, and consummated at our passing from this world to the bridal chamber of heaven. As the earth brings forth its plants and the garden makes its growth spring up, so the Lord, by his grace, will make us fruitful. His justice and praise springs up for his bride, the church, before all the nations, and may always do that. May the world see our kindness toward one another, our love for God, the praise that we have for him springing up. The one who calls you, Christ himself, Christ who calls us to this blessed union, is faithful. He is always faithful. Therefore, remain faithful to him, and he will accomplish all that he promises. Proclaim always and everywhere the greatness of the Lord. Let us rejoice in God, our Savior.